This program was first broadcast on Arrow FM, Wairarapa's only community access media station, and shared on Access Media with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Hello and welcome to Help here on Arrow FM 92.7. I am Abby.
And I'm her husband, Michael.
And we are going to chat with you today. If you haven't listened to Help before, we talk about things we wish we knew or wish we talked about more as parents. And I think it's always good to say a disclaimer. We are parents who are learning and we don't have all the answers. So if you're listening today and we say something and you're like, hang on, that doesn't sound right or whatever, all good. Like, contact us, talk to us about it. It's just our opinions and we have a little bit of research here, but, you know, we all need to kind of go and do our own research.
Yeah.
But hopefully for us, we want to bring topics to light that we can have these conversations and just, I don't know, be a bit more informative outside of social media.
Yeah. All right, well, it's kind of like use it as conversation starters, like get you thinking about different aspects, really.
Conversation starters.
Conversation with your brain.
Hi, my name's Abby, and have you dealt with childhood depression before?
Well, hey, you never know.
On their first greeting.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do it on your first date. See where it goes. Could be adventurous.
Okay, so last... oh, my gosh. Last week's show, Michael was flying solo.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember what you talked about?
No. Short answer.
Oh, my goodness.
Because it was actually, it was a couple weeks ago. It was a couple weeks ago I did it. I'm trying to remember it.
That's all good. We can go back. So clearly I didn't listen
to the
show.
I do remember, actually. I actually got AI to tell me what things AI thinks is relevant to tell new parents or people coming to become parents.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I thought it'd be interesting to see how much of it lines up with what we do talk about, whether AI is actually smart enough to be a parent yet or not. And I think it is. So we're screwed.
Okay, then. I'd love to see AI wipe a child's bum.
That would be quite fascinating, actually. Can you imagine not having to change your kid's nappies? Like, all right, just put you here. This robot's just... Oh, sweet, darling.
Robot's going to do it. Oh, goodness.
Ooh. Yep. That's a juicy one. Sorry, buddy.
Let's get into today's show before we start going downwards. Today, we're talking about parenting through childhood anxiety. So, as always, I get this all planned out and I don't tell Michael a thing.
So, let's talk about my anxiety about coming to the show.
Okay, so childhood anxiety is common and often misunderstood. It's important to recognize it is a legitimate mental health issue rather than just a phrase or shyness. So it's going to be interesting to talk about because it's for me, it's talking about anxiety in a healthy space. I don't think all children deal with mental health illness anxiety. I think that we live in an age at the moment where anxiety and anxiety disorders and mental health disorders are very much in the forefront, especially other aspects like ADHD and autism and being on spectrum. These things are getting their time in the spotlight now after years and years and years of not being acknowledged and not being dealt with in a healthy way. And now we are in a space where these are being talked about and stigmas are being broken and people are opening up more. But sometimes it can tip the other way where it starts to become really unhealthy and then we start to see it in everything. For me as a parent with anxiety, the way I'm kind of trying to navigate it is that we all feel anxiety at time to time. And it's understanding what is a healthy level of anxiety, what is an unhealthy level of anxiety, and then trying to understand that for a child and then trying to explain it to a child without it becoming something more.
Yeah.
That's my introduction thoughts. Cool. Be interesting if I think the same way by the time we finish this.
Yeah, we'll see. Because I agree with you, and I think, you know, everyone does feel anxious at times. And more often than not, well, actually not more often than not, the way we're feeling, those aspects, anxiety or even other emotions and whatnot, they are there for a reason. And they're supposed to be listened to because anxiety is often your body or your mind telling you that something's going to put you in danger. So I do agree, you know, it's not necessarily about stopping people feeling anxious. It's just bringing that understanding, stopping kids feeling anxious, is bringing that understanding to the kids of what to do when you're feeling that way. But then there are situations when the kids, where the anxiety is allowed to kind of flourish, or not. I'm not saying intentionally, just there's lots of flourish and it takes over.
Yes.
So, but it's natural for everyone to feel that.
Yes. The other thought that I've had as well around anxiety is all our children have different personalities, and some children are a bit more sensitive to things than others. And it's, for me, I think, especially on my journey in Mahi a Wairua and Te Ao Māori, is seeing it from a slightly different lens as well, of seeing that, where is it that this is a gifting in my child, where they might be a bit more sensitive to some things rather than just putting it to they're anxious and they've got a mental health disorder.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it does make sense. I think, yeah. Well, like you say, it'd be good to work it through. Talk about this, what research have done. Yeah.
Okay. Alrighty, well, let's get into this. Let me pull up my, what's going on here? My phone with all my info. Okie dokie. So, let's bring in some findings from top researchers in childhood anxiety. So, there is a Dr. Anne-Marie Albano, who leads the Columbia University Clinic for Anxiety and Related Disorders. And she focuses on the role of parental behaviour in managing children's anxiety. Dr. Albano's, there's no I in it. Research shows that parents play a critical role in helping children build resilience by balancing support with opportunities for independence.
Yeah.
Dr. Albano emphasizes that while it's natural to want to shield children from stress, overprotective responses can sometimes reinforce anxiety. By encouraging gradual independence, parents can help their kids build confidence. That's a theme that aligns well with the value of manaakitanga,
mm-hmm.
or nurturing strength and autonomy within Te Ao Māori.
Yep. No, it's quite good. Really good points. I think it is very crucial to find that line between allowing your kids to experience something as opposed to being too protective of them not doing it. Like, for example, how old is it for your children to use a sharp knife to cut fruit?
Mm.
What's the age?
Oh, well, it's more about whether you feel you're... I don't think there is a specific age. It's about whether you feel that, or even then, like saying, I'm thinking about one of our children, he is always ready to do stuff when I'm not ready for them to do it.
Yeah.
But I can see that he has the confidence in himself to do things. He might not have the motor skills. So then I guess that's where you would take on manaakitanga, and how do I nurture him and care for him and support him in being able to achieve what it is that he is wanting to achieve in a safe and supportive environment.
Yeah.
Without being like, oh, no, you might cut yourself. And then therefore creating this space of fear and anxiety. I can't use a knife because I'm going to cut my finger off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's challenging just talking about that, because I'm like getting these like pictures right now of where I've done that to my kids and I've stopped them from doing things because of my own fears of wanting to protect them.
Yeah. Yeah. Oof. And it is challenging, because it's also the whole fact that coming to the realization that at some point in their life, they will cut themselves with a sharp knife. Like, it's just, I've done it, I don't know how many times. It just happens.
Yeah.
But, you know, you want to protect your kids and not allow that to happen. But then you also need to allow that to happen so that they can learn and grow.
Oh, gosh, this is really challenging. And because the thing for me, sitting here talking about this, I'm feeling like convicted a little bit of like, oh, and then it's like, oh my gosh, how do I change my parenting style now? How do I, you know, I go into overdrive where I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to change so that they've got all the, you know, it's like.
Shut up, nicer, everyone, go.
It's like my world has just been opened up right now.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Okay, yes. Okay, let's carry on. All right, so there's another doctor. So understanding family influence and boundaries. Okay, so there is another doctor, Susan. Oh my goodness.
Dr. Susan. We'll just stick with Dr. Susan.
It's like Boggles. I don't know if it is. It's B-O-G-E-L-S. But the O has like those two little dots on top of it.
Boogles?
Boogles? I don't know. But anyway, and Dr. Susan, another prominent researcher, has studied the way family interactions can influence childhood anxiety. Her research suggests that children often mirror, oh my goodness, the emotional climate of their family, meaning they pick up on parents' stress and anxiety cues. This reinforces the importance of calm and grounded communication within the family. Dr. Susan also emphasizes mindful parenting as a tool for anxiety, which resonates with, you know, trying to incorporate Te Ao Māori into this. Whānau ora. Prioritizing family well-being as a whole, if parents cultivate calm, it flows through the entire whānau. So within Te Ao Māori, well-being isn't just about the individual, but the collective. When one family member is affected, everyone feels it. So creating a nurturing, balanced environment is essential. And that's something we've seen in our own family, is we kind of established our family with Team Hollingsworth, and we've always kind of thought, you know, we are a team. When one person is off, we're all off. And I think that's what I love about reconnecting with Te Ao Māori and seeing how this can influence our family, is it's that thing, is we are a collective whānau. We're not individuals in the same house just doing our own things, but how you are when you get home from work can really shift the atmosphere of the home. Yeah. How I am really can shift the atmosphere. And then we get these children that are getting real, like, riled up, and we're like, why are you so like this?
Why are you yelling at everybody?
And we've brought stress into the home. So again, this is quite convicting of how am I, as the mama of the house, coming into this space. Obviously, we're not seeking perfection, but it's something to be mindful of. And when I was reading up about, you know, that mindful parenting, I'm like, what even is mindful parenting? Does it mean that we need to, like, do mindful activities more often? But I love that idea of mindful parenting is literally being mindful of my presence within the home and how is it affecting the collective.
Yeah. No, and I think that's really good, because it is, other things we've talked about on the show and over the times is, you know, our kids will emulate what we do. They copy what we do. So then it's just that direct link between, you know, how you are, the atmosphere you bring in because of what you might be struggling with during the day. The kids are going to see that and they're going to emulate that, or they're going to feed off it. And so even when there's times when you may not necessarily be feeling that, because they've learned that as well, they're going to emulate it. So it's really important.
Yeah, and so then it's that figuring out, okay, I'm feeling a bit tired, or I'm feeling a bit stressed, or I'm feeling this way.
Yeah.
How then do I engage with my family where they're all aware of where I'm at? What can we do together to help one another? And it starts to really shift the way that our family is. And I'm just thinking about it now, like, we have one at the moment who seems to be in a very high emotional space, and it comes out quite aggressively. And I never thought to kind of sit down and say, look, you're obviously not in the best space right now. How can we as a family support you? What could we do to support you? Because at the moment, my mornings are really stressful trying to get the kids to school.
Yeah.
And then when they're in the car, it's just the nitpicking, fighting all the time. My response is not working because it's not stopping.
No.
And I'm just like, can you just stop? Can you just stop fighting? Can you just stop trying to correct each other? And I'm thinking like, oh, I just want them to stop.
Yeah.
But there's no kind of like, well, what could we do instead? How could we interact with each other instead? So I'm just adding to the nitpick fighting. But because I'm the mother, I get the last word.
Yeah. Well, you do get the last word. because it is really important to try and figure out, because we've obviously identified, we're having these issues with the kids and trying to get them ready and nighttime routine and bits and pieces with, and it's just not working. So then who's going to change? It's not the kids that are going to be like, hey, I'm going to be really good today. I'm going to do all my stuff. Occasionally they do. I will say occasionally they'll do that, but it's not on the kids to come up with that kind of cognitive thinking to make those decisions for themselves and change it. It will become from the parents approaching the situation differently, bringing that consistency and bringing that kind of like, okay, well, we need to redo how we're doing or relook at how we're doing this and structure in a way where our kids are then going to start to emulate that.
Yeah, and it's interesting because we start this topic talking about, childhood anxiety, thinking, well, for me, I can't speak for you, thinking, right, what are some practical tools and what we can do to help change this child and deal with their anxiety? But actually what this is starting to reflect is, I mean, obviously there's things that a child can do to help them, but it's looking at the behaviours of the parents first.
Yeah.
What's the dynamic of the home? What's the dynamic of the parents? How can changes in that space then have a natural flow-on effect to the children as combined with practical tools and advice that children can work through themselves?
Yeah. Yeah, well, because when you break it down, like, children are a product of the environment they grew up in.
Yeah.
It's not the child you change, it's the environment you change. You've got to change the environment to then create the change in the child.
Yes. Okay, so the next thing is emotional development and observing parents. How many of us as parents go into becoming parents and never even think about where is our emotional development at? Like, I can't say I looked at that when I went into having a child.
No.
I will be honest, my emotional development when I was having children was not strong.
On a scale of 1 to 10, where did you rate yourself?
I don't know. Somewhere in between 1 and 10.
So it wasn't a 0 and it wasn't a 10.
Okay, so a new doctor.
What's his name? A new doctor and you.
Dr. Carolyn Zahn-Waxler. Sorry, I could say that one. Her research adds to this by exploring how children develop empathy and emotional understanding through observing their parents. Her studies show that children, tamariki, often mimic parental emotional responses. Which means that showing calmness and emotional control helps children learn those same skills.
Right.
See
point before my comments.
Pardon?
See the point before comments from that I made.
What?
To emulate you.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So children observe and learn from their parents, but parents can also grow through observing their children's needs and responses, creating a peaceful environment and can promote emotional balance.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I definitely agree with, parents learning from their kids because often it comes back to their kids' personalities. Like, how do they learn? If you can adjust how you teach based on how your child learns, I think you really hit jackpot?
The jackpot, the nail on the head?
Hit the nail on the head. Don't hit the kid on the head. Not good.
Put the nail in the coffin?
Yeah. Well.
No, wrong one.
Talk about kids here, let's put nails in coffins here. All right, guys. No, yeah, really, really hit the jackpot where you're kind of...
Jackpot.
The jackpot, where you're teaching in a way that they are comprehending and understanding, and then it becomes easy because when you are learning in what is your native way,
mm-hmm.
it just picks up. Everything just makes sense so much easier.
Yeah, that reciprocal learning, it makes me feel a bit more comfortable now because it's when you're looking at stuff like this, it's very easy to then think, oh my gosh, when I see that anger, I know that came from when I was depressed. Or when I see that anxiety, I know it came from when I was struggling with anxiety. Or when this child doesn't open up and talk about their emotions, I know it's because that's what you have reflected. Yeah. It's very easy to go into that and think all the things that I have done wrong as a parent. But I think what I love about this concept of ako, reciprocal learning, is that children are learning and observing from us, but as we observe, we learn from our children that, oh, this is what their needs are. There's a bit of anger in our home, so what do we need to do to bring peace into our home? What do we need to do to bring emotional balance into our home? And that's what I think you and I have moved into more recently as we've been growing. And it really has been from observing our children and looking at what their needs are and thinking, what can we do to demonstrate a better way of communicating or a better way of emotional regulation?
Yeah. It's not always easy because definitely when especially on the more, when you are feeling tired and frustrated, or like you don't, you got to pull it out of yourself to have that patience to bring yourself down. Because it's very easy just to want to like, no, go away. I need you guys to leave me alone.
Yeah.
And just allow your emotions to take control, really. So,
but even that, like I found, because we have a home of like four introverts and one extrovert, and the four introverts, we really need to have our own space. Oh. We really need to recharge by having our own space. So there's been a lot of learning about how we do that, how we take space. But what I've realized is that there hasn't really been any learning on what does the extrovert need. And how do we meet those needs for the extrovert? And because he is always frustrated because no one wants to connect with him. And so because we've been trying, but we need this, we need this. And it's like, hang on, but as a family, we also need to cater to his needs.
Yeah.
So how do we step outside of our needs and be able to find that balance between the extrovert and the introverts?
Well, this last weekend, it was quite funny with him because, you know, we had a lot on. So we had a Saturday full of people.
Yeah.
He had sport. He had lunch and we had the party through sleepover. So basically we had people around him and in our house right through to like Sunday at 3 o'clock. And then I'm just like, look, we need our downtime now.
Yeah.
And he's just like, can I ask this person over? No. Can I just, no.
He
like,
really struggled, eh?
He just struggled. It's just like, you never let me have anyone over. I'm just like...
So energized, eh?
Oh, man.
He was so, and it must be quite hard for someone who's so energized and their tank is full and he's having the time of his life. There's all these people. He's so happy. And then everyone goes and he's left with us.
Yep.
And he's just like, that come down must have been really hard for him.
Yeah. It's for the rest of us, we're like, we need it.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why it's quite, you know, and I mean, some of it's his age. He's still quite young, so once he's a bit older and he has the opportunity to maybe go to his grandparents by himself, that's going to be a lot easier because we can be like, ring grandma, see if you can go around, go hang out, because he just loves to be out and about. So I think some of it's that age thing.
I just imagine there's a teenager who probably won't see him, like, I'm going to my friend's house. Alright.
Yeah, well, that's the real reality. Oh,
let's not think about that too much.
Yeah, let's not think about. Okay, all right. So I wanted to touch on Te Ao Māori perspective on childhood and anxiety. Now, Te Ao Māori is something that I'm really learning and trying to delve into because I have been on my own journey of reconnecting with whakapapa. I'm Māori, but our whānau was disconnected from our whakapapa, and we. You know, thankful to Michael being so open to it, are trying to incorporate Te Ao Māori into our home along with our Pākehā whakapapa as well. So anyone who's Māori and listening to this and like, oh, you haven't quite got it, please reach out and help me because I'm learning. I'm just doing my best. Okay, so looking into Te Ao Māori and its views on supporting children with anxiety. Within Māori culture, emotional well-being is seen as interconnected with spiritual, mental, and physical health, a concept called hauora. Anxiety isn't just a mental state. It's understood to impact the whole being, including whakapapa, your ancestral connections, and whānau. Oh my gosh, like, I'm just thinking about what I've just gone through with Kōrero Matahiko with Auntie Kay. Oh, that just resonates even more now, as like our whānau have really struggled with anxiety and depression, especially our Māori side, where we've lost our connection to our ancestors. And it'll be really interesting now that that connection has been remade into how our mental well-being flows.
Yeah.
Interesting, eh? So if a child is... Oh, sorry, what did you want to say?
No, nothing. Oh, I was just listening.
You were listening, yeah. So if a child is struggling with anxiety, supporting their hauora might mean looking at the strength of their relationships, their connection to culture, and their sense of belonging. In Te Ao Māori, the community plays a huge role, whether it's through support from extended family or cultural practices. And this communal aspect is key. A child who feels rooted in their identity, in their whānau and whakapapa, is often better equipped to handle life stresses. Anxiety is seen as something that can be healed, and with strength of the collective rather than faced alone.
Yeah, it's quite fascinating. It's just funny because, you know, those views that they have, how they go about that is like what's showing up in a lot of the science in today.
Mm.
Like we're talking about, you know, it's not you don't look at medicating it or anxiety or like this. You got to look at the environment around the children to, which does include like your whakapapa, your family, your relationships. That's what is going to really build it. But then this approach has been around for a very long time, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. Yeah, it has. And I'm just thinking back as someone who has a testimony to this. I've gone through Kōrero Matahiko and done a lot of mahi a wairua, so spiritual work on myself. Part of the criteria was struggling with mental health, being disconnected from whānau, and I can't remember what the other one was. It will come to me. But I'm just thinking that when I graduated, we finished the course that I was doing with Auntie Kay, and I'm thinking back to how has my mental state been since going through. It's been a lot more stable. My anxiety has not been anywhere near what it was. Like, I would say that understanding where I came from, connecting with my whakapapa, finding my sense of belonging and self, worth in myself, that I am enough, has really brought healing to my mental state. As I've had days where I'm tired and I'm weary, but I haven't had days where I can't get out of bed, which was quite common pre the journey. And so I'm just reflecting on this now, and probably something I should say to Auntie Kay, but it's just, you know, like it dawns on me that, yeah, actually it's that whole water. It's taking care of yourself,
yeah,
in that full package.
No, and I can testify as well that you've got out of bed every day, which is nice. Sorry.
Oh my gosh.
I will testify that your mental health, where you're at, has progressed quite significantly in these last few months. As going through the course, it has been wonderful to see, and it's just, I guess, you know, you got that proof of all that side of where we were at beforehand, and just doing this one aspect and just seeing the change that's happened there.
Mm.
And yeah, it's just, you know, your refinement.
Yeah.
It's great to see you in this space, Anna, is what I'm trying
to say.
Oh,
that's cool.
I'm trying to say. Yeah.
Okay, so moving on. before we go like on a completely different tangent, because all I'm realizing is connecting. I'm having a light bulb moment here, really, but I'm connecting my experience to Te Ao Māori and anxiety and healing and children. And if we as parents can foster a space where they are, they can know who they are, their identity, their culture, their place in this world, and they're secure in that, in their holder, that brings healing to that space of anxiety. Okay, so practical tips. We love practical tips. So let's share a few tips that parents can use based on both the research that we've covered and Te Ao Māori principles. All right. One, encourage independence gradually.
Yeah.
So as Dr. Albano suggests, allow your child to try new things independently, but with gentle support. Celebrate small successes to build their confidence.
Yeah, so not force them to do something they don't want to do because you know it'll be good for them.
Example?
Making Zane go on the flying fox right from the top rather than halfway down.
Did you do that?
I have in the past.
Yes, but this is where we learned that when we did that to him, it spiked his anxiety.
Yeah, it did.
It did. And what we learned was to let him do things as he felt confident, like riding his bike, for example. First, it started with him just sitting on it.
Yeah.
Then it was him going off the driveway and onto the cul-de-sac. Then it was him riding around the cul-de-sac. Then when he felt more confident, he went up a bit further. And he did it when he felt confident.
No, that's
and
right.
We were like, well done, I'm so proud of you. That was great. You did so much more than you did yesterday. And then now he just rips around that street like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah. No, I going back to what the actual point is, yeah, I think it's very good just to be prepared to fight, I guess, your own anxiety of what could happen to your children, because kind of voicing that and vocalizing that to your children is probably will put doubt on their mind anyway.
Yeah.
And just actually look, give them encouragement, pick them up when they're going to hurt. Like, then the reality is, at some point your kids are going to get hurt some way,
yeah,
somehow. You can't protect them from that forever.
Yeah.
And by trying to, you actually end up damaging them more than just allowing them to scrape a knee to, yeah.
Yeah. I think as well, you know, each child is really different.
Mm.
And so you know which ones you can kind of push a little bit more than the other. You know, who needs a gentle push. Because I'm all for encouraging and giving gentle pushes to get outside of their comfort zone and to take a risk and to face the fear. And I think that's a really important skill to learn, but it's doing it that works for that personality. Like how we push or might encourage our youngest compared to our middle is going to be very different to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Okay, so the second one is mindful parenting. Take time to observe your child's emotions without reacting. As Dr. Susan, I was going to say Bogles, but Dr. Susan highlights, mindful awareness can help create a calm family environment that reduces anxiety.
Okay.
Build whakapapa connections. So strengthen your child's connection to their heritage and whānau. Stories of ancestors who overcame hardships can foster resilience and help them feel supported by a legacy of strength.
Yep. Cool.
Focus on hauora. So ensure your child's emotional, physical, mental and spiritual well-beings are balanced. This might include time outside, involvement in cultural practices or simply grounding them in their sense of whānau.
Yep. No, I was just thinking that through. Like, yeah, it's I think it's being prepared to listen, especially with that, because you don't necessarily know what they're thinking. It's really prepared. It's really good to, you know, be prepared to listen to what they have to say, and not trying to like talk over top for them and like figuring out, oh, well, it must be this, must be this. Just like kind of what's going on, like giving them the time to express their feelings, express what's going on for them in the day, and then, you know, thinking, is this a thing that can we directly change, or is it actually just they're needing to spend more time with their friends, or
yes,
like that sort of approach. Like rather than, it was very, very easy to be like, oh well, you know, he's the worried about this test that we'll sing at school tomorrow. But actually, that's not necessarily what the case is, and more often than not, yeah, there's other aspects that are going on. You only can understand and get to those if we just take the time to talk it through, and let them express what it is they want to get out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's really good wisdom. Yeah.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Okay, so basically these tips show how blending modern research with cultural perspectives. Now, cultural doesn't have to just be Te Māori. Like, what is the culture of your whānau? Where does your family come from? And exploring what that looks like. What is the dynamic of your family as well? But these can create a more holistic approach. So it's not about trying to fix anxiety, but it's about nurturing well-being across all areas of life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's mostly our show today. I think this was a great topic. I didn't know how it was going to go going into it, but I thought, man, like, coming out of it, I feel very encouraged by some of the things that we as parents are probably naturally doing because of our love for our children and our family. But yeah, it's giving us a little bit more extra tools and insight onto that hauora of the whānau, whānau hauora, and yeah, being mindful in our parenting. And also not being hard on ourselves. Like, we come into having children with our baggage and our experiences and our perspectives. And when we have children, we grow, we mature, we learn, we keep getting older, we keep having life experiences, we keep changing. But I think as long as we're teachable and we're willing to change and we're willing to apologize when we haven't got it right, but we're willing to make an effort to make things better, I think that's all we can do, and support each other and encourage each other, and what a great job we're doing.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And I think that the whole thing of not being too hard on yourself is really important, because we know that through this, what we talked before, like, you're the one who's going to, as a parent, you're the one who's going to be setting the tone for the environment. You're the one who's going to be, the kids will be learning from. So you can't directly change what they are doing or how they behave. You just have to change yourself to allow them to learn from it. And I think it's just with that, you know, something we've always said is be open with your kids and admit when you make mistakes. Like, hey, actually, you know, when I came home from work yesterday, I was stressed and I ended up taking out on you guys. And, you know, that wasn't actually right. We need to adjust that.
Mm.
So those kind of things are really important, because it just also shows the other side of your parenting to your kids, that you're not perfect, but you're willing to actually take ownership over that and make changes and adjust it, which then changes the atmosphere, changes the environment, which will then influence the kids to change.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
It is really cool. All right. Well, that comes to the end of our show for today. If you really enjoyed listening to this, you can listen to it again. Go to the Arrow FM website. You can actually look up their program schedule, and you'll see all the programs that are running on Arrow FM. You can listen to any of their previous programs. You just go onto their pages and you'll find the links all there. It's very easy to navigate. So if you want to listen to this again, go to Arrow FM website and then find help in the programs, click on us, which we actually need to update, and you can find the program there. We will also be releasing a blog post that will go hand in hand with this. So there's the written version of what we've chatted about, and you can access that through the Ruth Project Facebook page. And yeah, that's
enjoy,
it.
Enjoy reading it.
Enjoy reading it. Enjoy listening. Thank you so much for tuning in. We look forward to chatting away next week.
Have a great week.